Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. We come at last to the final verses of the book of Malachi, namely verses 4, 5, and 6 of chapter 4. And here we find the remedy for Israel's problems. At the time that Malachi ministered to Israel, things were certainly not going well with that nation. The economy was very, very weak. Homes and marriages were falling apart. Lawlessness was on the increase. And most people didn't seem to understand why. Many blamed God for failing to keep his promises to his people Israel. But the problem was not with God, but with those who called themselves the people of God. They were at fault, and the prophet Malachi was sent to them by God to tell them exactly what was wrong. The question, though, at this point is, what is the remedy for their problems? And it is very simple. Return to the Word of God, verse 4. Receive the messengers of God, verse 5. And reform the institutions designed by God, verse 6. And that closes out the book. Now, for the moment, we're going to concentrate upon the first one. Return to the Word of God. Here's what it says, verse 4. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all of Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. That's the first step in the remedy. It is to return to the Word of God, or to the law of God. The Word of God which they had, which was the Old Testament Scriptures, and began with the Pentateuch, the books of Moses, and the heart of that was the law of God, the Ten Commandments that were given by God on Mount Horeb, along with all of the additional requirements that constituted the law of Moses. But that's where they had to begin. They had to return to God's Word. I've said several times over the course of this study that the book of Malachi, though an ancient book, is very relevant to us in America today, because many of our problems are the same, and the remedy is also the same. What is the solution for the many problems in America today? I'll tell you what it is. Return to the Word of God. It's a lot simpler than it may seem. Now, when you return to God's Word, you're going to find a lot of things that need to be addressed. So the simple solution has many different aspects to it, but it's all very simple. Return to the Word of God. The Word of God that was much more prominent in the early years of our nation than it is today. Well, before going on, I pause and welcome you to this Thursday, March 26 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank those who are mindful that we can only continue this Bible teaching ministry on the radio as you help us financially. All right, back to verse 4. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Let's consider a question. What are they required to remember? Remember, we are told, the law of Moses, What are they required to remember? And what God, through the prophet Malachi, tells them to remember is described in six ways. So let's look at them one by one. What should they remember? Number one, the law of Moses. Remember the law of Moses. That is the law that was given to Moses, the law that was given through Moses, and the law which was very, very strongly identified with Moses, because God chose Moses to be his leader, his channel, his spokesman, the one through whom he spoke to the people of Israel, the one to whom he delivered his statutes for the people of Israel. And so they are to remember the law of Moses. Number two, the law of God. Why do I say that? Because verse 4 says, remember the law of Moses, my servant. My servant. Moses was God's messenger. The words that Moses gave were God's words. He goes on to say, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb. Yes, we call the law for the Jewish nation, the law of Moses, and with good reason we call it the law of Moses, and the New Testament calls it the law of Moses, so we're not on shaky grounds when we do that. We're doing exactly what the Bible says, both in the Old and the New Testament. This, of course, is Old Testament, and this is exactly what it says. Remember the law of Moses. You say, why doesn't it say remember the law of God? Well, there are reasons for this, and this, of course, specifies exactly what particular giving of law that God has in mind here. The law that God gave to Moses to give to the people of Israel. Were there other givings of the law of God? Well, indeed there were. They were certainly not as comprehensive. They were not as significant, I suppose, as this one, though maybe that's not the right word for it. God gave laws, for example, to Noah. You can go back and study that. But they were brief. They were what were much fewer in number than the laws that were given to Moses. And so this identifies exactly what law code God has in mind when he says, remember the law of Moses. But he also wants them to keep in mind that the law of Moses is the law of God. That's important. Sometimes in our day, I find people will say, well, I'm willing to consider the red letters in the Bible, the words that Jesus actually spoke. I'm willing to consider that they are important, they are significant, some people even are willing to say that's the Word of God. But those things that were written by the Apostle Paul, or some other biblical writer, I'm not so confident about those. But the Bible claims that all of the scriptures that have been preserved for us by the Holy Spirit of God in the book we call the Bible, that all of them were inspired by God. They were all given by God. That the words of Paul that were preserved, I'm not saying every word that he ever spoke, the ones that we don't have, but the words of Paul that were preserved were also inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, they were guarded and guided by the Holy Spirit to make sure that they were, at the same time, the words of Paul and the Word of God. And so you can't make this dichotomy. You can't rightfully say, well, these red letters are the Word of God, but these epistles of Paul, that's just Paul's opinion. No. Any more than you can say that the Ten Commandments are the Word of God, but all the rest of that Mosaic regulation is the Word of Moses, not the Word of God. God makes it clear here that the law code that we call the law of Moses was also, at the same time, the law of God. So what should they remember? Number one, the law of Moses. Number two, the law of God. Number three, the law communicated through a man, and I've already touched on that, but let me emphasize it in this way. It was the law of Moses, my servant, Moses, a man, but prepared and used by God to deliver his word, which is a remarkable thing. But was Moses a perfect man? No. He was a sinner, as we all are, and some of his sins are recorded in Scripture. There were complaints against Moses, some of them illegitimate, but nevertheless, there were people in his day that found fault with Moses and complained about him and said, Moses is just a man. And who elevated Moses to this high and lofty position that he holds in the nation of Israel? But keep in mind that this is the word of God that God, by his design, communicated through a man, a messenger chosen by him, not a perfect man, not a sinless man by any means. In fact, he was forbidden to go into the promised land because of sin. Sin that we might think is relatively minor, but the penalty was pretty major. Because you disobeyed my word and struck the rock twice instead of once, you dishonored me before the whole nation of Israel, you were not careful to obey my word exactly. I didn't say strike the rock twice. In fact, God didn't tell him to strike it at all that second time, but to speak to it. And you struck it in anger, you struck it twice, dishonored me before the whole nation. And the interesting thing is that when Moses did that, it got the result that he wanted. It met the need of the moment. People received the water that they so desperately needed, but God said, you disobeyed me, you sinned, and that transgression will keep you from coming into the promised land. The very one who had labored and toiled and given himself for 40 years to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and into the promised land, and he was denied the opportunity to go into the promised land because of sin. So what's my point? Moses was not a perfect man. He was not a sinless man. But nevertheless, he was God's chosen vessel to communicate the word of God. Moses, my servant, appointed to represent God. Remember the word of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him. The law of Moses was the law of God. And it's just a reminder that God has chosen to reveal his will through human instrumentality. We have it in written form in the book called the Bible. And there are people who will comb through the Bible and try to find every criticism, every flaw, every weakness that they think they can find and hold that up as a reason why we don't have to pay attention to it. That is pretty foolish and very dangerous to your soul, because the Bible claims that it is, in fact, the inspired word of the living God. Yes, it is channeled to us through human instruments, none of which are sinless men, but they don't have to be. God has guaranteed that what they wrote that's found in the Bible has been filtered through the mind of the Holy Spirit of God, and it is God's eternal word. Understand that, accept that, believe that. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.